How many of you are familiar with TLC's program, What Not to Wear? Any of you seen that program? For those of you who aren't familiar with it, it is supposed to be a remedy for people with disastrous fashion habits. To do this, friends and family of the fashion offender nominate them to the show, and the show's hosts, Stacy and Clinton, come to these people's homes with $5,000 for a brand new wardrobe. But there are rules. Most importantly, the fashion offender has to let Stacy and Clinton into their closets and allow them to throw away or donate the entirety of their old wardrobe. Now, Stacy and Clinton are a little mean in doing this for my taste, but I was reminded of this, of What Not to Wear as I read this passage this week. The imagery in Ephesians 4 is of putting away an old wardrobe and putting on something new. In verse 22, it says, "You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self." And in verse 24, "and to clothe yourselves with the new self." Paul writes that Jesus offers us a new wardrobe. Not just additions and accessories, he offers us a whole new wardrobe. But putting on this clothing, joining in this makeover, so to speak, involves two kinds of decisions. It involves a whole life decision, and it involves daily life decisions. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Paul begins with the whole life decision in verses 17 through 24. He says, in verse 17, "You must no longer live as the Gentiles live in the futility of their minds." Remember, Paul is writing to a number of Christians who were Gentiles, who are Gentiles. People who were not Jews, and now they are Christians. And he says, it's a new way of life. Just like God said to Israel back in Leviticus, he said, "Be holy, for I am holy. Be different now, because I am a different kind of God than what you're used to serving." There's a saying, I'm not one for cliches, but I think this is a good one. I've shared it with some of you. Jesus loves you just as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you like that. Right? That's true. That's how I feel sometimes. I hope Jesus doesn't want to leave me the same as I am. But Jesus is asking us to trade one life for another. The thing is, he's not asking us to trade a pretty good life for a better life. He's asking us to trade a life that is just down in the dumps for something that is new and different. Look at some of the words Paul uses to describe the old life. Starting in verse 17, he talks about the futility of their minds, darkened in their understanding, alienated, we've seen that word before, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart, lost all sensitivity. Licentiousness, greedy practices of every kind, impurity. And verse 22, corrupt and deluded by its lusts. This is not trading a pretty good life for a better life. So then what makes it so hard? What makes it so hard? What makes it on TLC's program, What Not to Wear? They come into the closets and you see these old, outdated, unfitting, ugly outfits, but the people just want to hold on to them for some reason. What makes that so hard? And I think it's because that life is just what comes naturally to us. We're familiar with it. It's part of the human condition that whether it's good or bad, we like to hold on to what's familiar to us, what we're comfortable with. There's a psychological issue called the Stockholm Syndrome. And the Stockholm Syndrome happens when a person has been held hostage or kidnapped and held by their captor for a long period of time. And what they find is that when these hostages or kidnapped people come back out and are freed, they actually express positive emotion towards their captors. They defend them. Sometimes they adore them. It's just because that's who they were familiar with. That was the way of life they became comfortable with and they knew. Having our minds renewed is hard. That's what Paul asks us to do in verse 23. To be renewed in the spirit of your minds. It's hard to change. It's hard to embrace a new way of life. And I think there's a combination of two factors that need to happen if we're going to be willing to trade our old wardrobe for our new wardrobe, to let Jesus come into our lives and change us. And the first factor is that we must be utterly fed up with the life we have now, or at least pieces of the life we have now. We have to say, this is not working for us. This is not good. In What Not to Wear, when Stacy and Clinton come in, they have the client, so to speak, put on an outfit, one of their old outfits, and get into this four-way mirror room. And so these clients get in and they look at themselves, and some think they look okay, but a lot of them look at themselves from all angles and say, what was I thinking? This is not working. This is not good. And that's the point we have to come to. We have to be willing to say, this way I'm living, this pattern I'm living in, isn't working. This is not good. We have to be utterly fed up with the life we have now. And the second factor is that we need to be utterly enthralled with the life that Jesus is offering us. Now, I don't think a lot of us are utterly enthralled with the life that Jesus has to offer us. When we think of the good life, we often think of big houses and nice cars and traveling around the world. We don't think being a Christian is the good life. The life Jesus lived, the life Jesus has to offer me, is the good life. But those are the two factors. If we are truly going to have our minds renewed, if we are going to live a life worthy of the calling, which is what Paul is asking us to do, we must be utterly fed up with the life we have now and utterly enthralled with the life Jesus wants to give us. In other words, there's an emphatic no to the old life and yes to the new life. Eugene Peterson, this quote is in your bulletin. He writes about salvation and how we participate in that. And as we've talked about earlier, a few weeks ago, salvation is a relationship with God plus the life that you were created to live. And here's this quote that's in your bulletin. He writes, "Participation in salvation, as revealed in Jesus, requires appropriate and discerning employment of both words, the yes and the no." He says the no is a freedom word. It's saying, I don't have to live. I don't have to do what either my glands, my biology, or my culture tells me to do. I'm freed from that. The yes in salvation has to do with training and perception, acquiring a taste for what is being revealed in Jesus, acquiring a taste for the good life that Jesus offers. He goes on to say that the problem is our senses are dulled. Have you ever known someone who goes out to a really nice restaurant and they have this wonderful plate of food put before them? And before they even try it, they reach for the salt and pepper and just dump salt and pepper on this gourmet meal. Have you ever known someone who does that? That happens because little by little, our senses, our taste buds are dulled. We put more and more and more salt and pepper on it until at that point you're not even tasting this delicious feast that is put before you. You're only tasting the salt and pepper that you've dumped on it. And that's what happens to us. We live these other kinds of lives, these old lives, the ways our culture lives and the way the world tells us we should live. And we don't see the life that Jesus has as good and beautiful and delicious. Having our minds renewed means recovering our taste for what is truly delicious and beautiful and good. And that's a process. That's a process that comes from reading the Word and seeing who Jesus really is. From seeing, as Paul is describing for us, this life that we're called to. And by saying, that is so much better. That's the life I want. That's the whole life decision. To trade the old life in for the new life. To say no to the old patterns, that doing things the way I've always done them or the way everyone around me does them, and saying yes to the life that Jesus offers you and following Him. But that whole life decision feeds into our daily decisions. And that's what Paul is getting into in verse 25 through 32. See, trading in the old wardrobe and getting a new one isn't the whole story. He says, every day you got to put on those new clothes and walk out the door with that new wardrobe on. I think there's a misperception about Christianity, that Christianity is just a bunch of no's. It's just a straight jacket. Don't do this, don't do this, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And it's the boring life. And Paul says, again, say no, but even our daily life decisions have a yes. And that's how Paul describes this new life in verses 25 through 32. I want to give you three examples as he lists a number of them. And the first example is in verse 25. He says, so then, putting away all falsehood, that's the no, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. That's the yes. Paul's not just talking about lying, he's talking about all the reasons we lie. We lie to cover up for ourselves. We lie to gain advantage for ourselves. We lie to hide from each other and pretend we're something different than we are. And he says, say no to that. Say yes to telling truth. And that's one of Paul's big concerns for the people. You saw it in verse 15. He says, speak the truth in love. We see it in verse 21. Surely you have heard about him and were taught in him as truth is in Jesus. In verse 24, he talks about true righteousness and holiness. And in verse 25, speak the truth. He says, be real. Be who you really are. If God has given you grace and mercy and forgiven you and set you on a new path, you don't have to be embarrassed by these things that are still in your wardrobe. You've gotten grace for those. Just be real with who you are and be real with the people in your community. He says, we are members of one another. We're part of a community now. Second example I want to talk about is in verse 28. He says, thieves must give up stealing. That's the no. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. That's the yes. And again, he's not just talking about stealing, he's talking about what it does to us. Stealing is selfish. It's living apart from community. It's saying, I'm going to get what I want regardless of how that affects other people. And not only is it selfish, it's dehumanizing. From the beginning, God said, work. Work the ground is what he said to Adam. We were meant to work for a living. To do good, honest work. That's what being human is. That's how we can be fulfilled. That's how we can be part of a community. And I love what Paul says at the end of the verse. So as to have something to share with the needy. Now, how many of you, when you go to work in the morning, think, I'm going to go to work today so that I can have something to share with the needy? How many of you think that, really? How many of you have ever thought that once in your life? I can't personally say that that's usually my perspective. That I can go to work so that I can earn money to contribute to the needs of others. That's kind of weird, right? Let's be honest. If someone said that's what they thought when they went to work every day, we'd think that's kind of weird. But isn't it also kind of beautiful? That you're not just working for yourself. Not just working so you can have what you want, but working so you can be a part of something. So that you have something to offer. That you're not just taking, you're giving and participating and contributing. The third example is in verse 29. Paul writes, let no evil talk come out of your mouths. That's a no. But only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. That's the yes. Now in the Bible, the word evil is often used to talk about something that's damaging or harmful. So he's saying, let no talk come out of your mouth that is harmful to others, that is damaging to someone else. In verse 31, he talks about putting away all anger and slander and malice. We say all kinds of things that are harmful to other people, whether that's to their face and saying, ripping into someone, maybe that's behind their back and gossiping and talking about them when they don't know about it. We say all kinds of things that are damaging to other people. Why do we do that? I think we do it because we think it's going to make us feel better. If that person's an idiot, I'm smarter than them. Right? That's kind of the idea a lot of times, isn't it? Now tell me, how do you feel when you go to bed at night after you've ripped into someone after you have slandered someone, after you've gossiped someone, after you've spoken things that are harmful to other people, do you go to bed at night and feel peace and joy and rested and good about yourself? Not usually. That's why we do it, but that's not how it works. Instead, think about going to bed at night after you have built other people up with your words. After you've taken the opportunity to allow them to feel grace, the love of God for them. Think about how you feel that night going to bed. You feel like, yes, that was a good day. I was living who I was created to be that day. I can sleep easy. That's saying no to the old life and yes to the new life. Now, on what not to wear, after this whole process has gone on, they've gotten this new wardrobe. They bring these clients in at the end of the show and they have them wear one of their new outfits. And almost without fail, these clients come in with their new outfits on. They say, yeah, now I'm owning my body. Now I'm feeling like I'm in control of my life. Now, I think that's a bit superficial with clothes, but it's kind of a superficial glimpse into what putting on the new self is. Putting on the new self is being who we were created to be. And we will feel that when we live it. When we accept that life that Jesus gives us, when we allow the Spirit to come in and help us to build up people and to contribute and to be members of one another, we will feel different. How would that change how you live on a daily basis? If you wake up and instead of saying, I'm just putting on the same old clothes, I'm putting on the new life. I'm putting on a life that Jesus has given me. This life of grace and truth and love. How would that change your life? He gives us all kinds of reasons. In verse 25, he says, we are members of one another. Verse 28, he says, to share with the needy. In verse 29, he says to give grace to those who hear. In verse 32, he talks about forgiving one another because God in Christ has forgiven you. That's who you were created to be. You were created to be a part of a community. You were created to have something to offer. You were created to be an agent of God's grace. You were created to be freed from this old life by the forgiveness that God offers you through Jesus. That's who you were created to be. Compare that to your life now. And ask yourself the question, do I want to hang on to my current wardrobe? Because you can go on living just like you've always lived. You can go on living like the rest of the culture. You can go on living like the family where you grew up in. You can go on living like a lot of different things. Or you can live like Jesus. Chapter 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. Live like Jesus. This is what he offers to you. Live in the kingdom of God, where your king, your ruler, your master, consider this, your ruler, the one who is making the decisions in your kingdom, is someone who is the perfect example of the life that you're called to live. You live in a kingdom as beloved children, with a father who loves you, a father who has adopted you through Jesus into his family. You live in a kingdom where you are loved by Jesus, where he gave his life up for you. He went all the way to the cross so that you could live with God. And in between that, in verse 2, is sandwiched this little command, live in love, just like God has loved you. Love others. Like the Father has adopted you into his family, you can adopt other people into relationship with you. Like Jesus has gone all the way to the cross for you, you can pour out your life for other people and help them to experience God's love and grace. Does that sound like a better life? Do you still want to hold on to that old 30-year-old sweater with a stain on the front and holes in the sleeves? Or do you want to imitate Jesus? Do you want to learn from him? Learn from the scriptures. Do you want to put on a whole new wardrobe of love and truth and grace? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you don't leave us with these old lives, just doing the same thing over and over again, making the same mistakes. That you give us hope that we can have something different. Lord, forgive us for the ways we cling to those old patterns, the ways we don't want to give you the things we're familiar with, even though they harm us and harm others. Forgive us. Free us from that life with your grace. Help us to put on the new self, the new person, the person we were created to be. Help us to be agents of your grace into this world, sharing with those who have need, speaking grace and building others up, showing people the love and forgiveness that you have for us. Restore us to that life. Help us to live it. Amen.